Take over the government, boy.
Oh, and we're back with another episode of Bones and Tubs this week with you. In the studio, it's nighttime. Kind of weird.
And it's hotter than fucking here.
It is so fucking hot. But you know what? We got a hot take for you today.
Yeah.
It only makes sense. But before we get started on the day's topic and our subsequent Tarantinoing of everything and probably descending into madness by the end.
Hour-long autistic screeching.
Due to the heat.
Yeah.
First, we wanted to do some housework for you. I think the first one we wanted to take care of was the Minty Hippo.
Yes, the new Patreon supporter, the Minty Hippo. $10 club. I can't remember off the top of my head what reward that is, but it's in round.
Oh, he's getting something.
Yeah, what is it?
Man,
yeah. It's late in the day.
Yeah.
We will invite you all to go over to Bones and Tubs at patreon.com/bonesandtubs and check out those reward tiers, just like I'm going to do after the show, and send the Minty Hippo his prize.
Join the nation.
We really appreciate your donation. I talked to him for about, I don't know, 30 minutes earlier, and come to find out, similar roots.
That's what you get here at the Bones and Tubs podcast, is you get that personal touch experience.
Bones will talk to you until you're like, I got shit to do, motherfucker, leave me alone.
Yeah. He'll talk to you. I'm a quiet guy. I'm sorry. I need to get better
at
being more
Your
personable.
Fucking training wheels need to be Twitter.
I'm just a very, very like, you know, it's weird. I feel like I'm a private person, but I have a podcast, so it doesn't really make sense.
Right. Well, I mean, that's part of the reason why. It's like the face for radio argument, you know? Like,
yeah.
We can
yeah.
be as open as we want to be because we don't feel like anyone's watching us.
Exactly.
But they are
listening. Who was the other, what was the other thing we wanted to?
Oh, after glorifying the name of Minty Hippo, mm-hmm. where you have a promo swap this week for the podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
Secret Transmission Podcast.
Ooh.
Now, we'll go ahead and play that.
Testing. Can anyone hear me? My name is Toby, and I'm the host of the Secret Transmission Podcast. We are a show that discusses the paranormal, conspiracies, the supernatural, UFOs, cryptozoology, and anything else weird. Our show is transmitted to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. You can also follow us on Twitter for updates, at Secret Trans Pod. So get ready to put on your tinfoil hats and come learn with us as we try to explain the unexplainable.
And we're back.
That was spicy.
Spicy.
I tell you what, like, I really love, like, communicating and like melding with other podcasts that carry the same tune that we do.
Conspiracy style.
You know what I mean? I don't want to know what would happen if they got all of us different conspiracy podcasters together in a room together.
We
but
created our own union of sorts.
They probably need to make sure the floors are lacquered and, you know, put some air fresheners in there as well.
If you threw us all in a giant gymnasium together and then threw in a bottle of vodka and it landed in my lap, it's going to be turnt.
Because here's the thing, like, imagine, like, on a daily basis, me and my podcasting partner, we love talking to people about conspiracy.
Yeah.
That's our life. We talk about it constantly. The Factory of Sadness allows us a lot of time just to simply talk.
Right.
That's what we do. So
sharpen our knife.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that you play against people that might not agree with you on certain things, and it's a good way to hone your rhetorical skill, as I say. You know, it's good. I can't imagine being in a room full of people that are as woke as we are. Like, you couldn't tell them anything.
No. Well, they definitely could, though, because, I mean, like, we all have our own brand. I really like their podcast for the fact, like, I was going through one, listening to some Mothman.
Yeah.
You know, it's just some different stuff that some people would consider fringe, but I like it. I like it. I like the Secret Trans Pods way of going about it.
Yeah.
We've all got our individual fingerprint. Everybody should go and check them out. They're on iTunes, you know, Stitcher.
Secret Transmission, and there's a couple others like Baked and Awake.
Oh, man, love Baked and Awake.
I would love.
I used to do that a lot.
Right? You imagine if, like, there's one that I wish he would make contact with us, or maybe we should just try to make contact with him. And that is definitely Greg Carlwood over at the Higher Side Chats.
I've talked to him.
You've talked to him?
A couple times.
Really?
He kind of, he's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I do love the Higher Side Chats.
It's though. Right when we started our podcast.
Oh,
okay. Is when I was messaging him, and I was asking him questions. And I probably sent him, like, 6 questions.
Yeah.
And he responded with a link to a podcast builder business that he said he used. It was like $2,000. I'm like, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. He does put together a good podcast, though.
Oh, no. It's a great podcast. I'm sure it's a great service, too. But, I mean, we hit it from the ground.
You know, and then there's...
We are the people's podcast.
Yeah. There's those butt chuggers over there at Brohio.
Oh, yeah. We need to... I need to make contact with them again. We're supposed to be doing a show with them on Monday.
This coming Monday?
No, just some Monday. He hasn't responded back yet.
Okay. Yeah, because we were talking about doing a show with them as well, because, you know, we know Nicolicious from the show personally.
Yeah.
And love to do a show with them.
Yeah.
You know, they would have to definitely... I feel like... Now, I don't know if they're in the same conspiratorial wheelhouse that we're in, though. They kind of... They reside in the paranormal...
We kind of deal, I think, with the shit that makes them upset.
Yeah. So, we might have to find something that we can meet in the middle on.
Hopefully, they fill a kiddie pool for us to sit in while they, you know, do their thing and we don't upset them or trigger their audience too much.
Oh, yeah. We're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings.
We just want to get our name out there.
Like, I hope, like, most of the people that listen to this show already know, like, we don't set out to hurt people's feelings.
No.
We set out to change minds.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I'm under the assumption that most of our audience are grown-ass adults that understand that words can't actually hurt you.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before.
Right. Fuck your feelings, though.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about today, and this is strange for our podcast, because for once, Tubbs is going to get positive about government.
Uh-oh.
Now, if you could play, if you could somehow edit, like, it very faintly in the background, some sort of patriotic song.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, not maybe not Yankee Doodle, but like, something to the tune.
Okay.
But we're not usually patriotic individuals. Well, okay. No, I don't know. Hold on. I fucked myself on that one. We are patriotic individuals, but we don't talk about positive things about politics too often, right? Or government, for that matter.
Yeah.
I'm fucking this up. This is the worst campaign ad ever. But we had a conversation a few days ago, and I talked about never compromising again on my beliefs, right?
Yeah.
Well, here in Ohio, there's a governor election coming up, and... Of course, you have your mainstream candidates, your Democrat and your Republican.
Mike DeWine. Yeah.
He's terrible.
I don't know who the other one is.
Rob Corddry. Yeah, same difference.
Yeah.
It don't fucking matter.
Anyways.
So, but there are two more candidates. Honestly, I don't know who the Green Party candidate is because I'm not Green Party and I'm not a fucking socialist.
Yeah.
You all know that already. But I am... I do feel a common bond with libertarians. I feel like we're in the same... We live in the same country, maybe a different county.
I'm willing to give myself the stamp of a Ron Paul libertarian. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah. That being said, there is, in fact, a libertarian candidate from the Libertarian Party. His name? Travis Irvine. He's running for the governor of Ohio. I don't put my endorsement on things lightly, everybody. But let me tell you something. I think his platform... There are just 4 things that his platform is built on.
Hmm.
But I feel like there are 4 things. He's like, basically, listen, I got 4 years. I got 4 things I want to do. He wants to do tax reform, which means lowering taxes for small businesses and for folks like us.
Because taxation step.
There you go. There's step 1. Step 2, marijuana legalization.
That was the sound of stadiums of people cheering for him.
Yeah. Step 3 was deregulating certain aspects of being able to create a small business.
Yeah, well, he mentioned, what, vape startups, shops, IPA brewery, or just breweries in general.
He comes from a background...
Marijuana dispensaries. Yeah.
He comes from a background of being a small business owner anyways.
Yeah.
And I believe the 4th part of his platform had to do with criminal reform.
Hmm.
And that had to do with changing the laws so people don't get put in cages for things that they don't deserve to be in cages for.
Is he involved with the grassroots issue for Issue 1?
He is.
Good.
Which is another thing that's close to Bones and Toes' heart is Issue 1 in Ohio. For all you Ohioans out there that listen, Go out there and sign that petition. I already did.
You can basically boil it down to no victim, no crime.
Yeah. And as a staunch, I don't know what, but definitely freedom loving.
Yeah.
That is definitely in my wheelhouse.
I like that we, anybody that's listened to our shows here at the Bones and Tubs podcast would notice that we started a certain way, whatever that might have been. I guess libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of went more like...
a little bit further.
Dabbled with anarchy is where you kind of stopped. And then I'm still like in that weird No Masters thing. When you told me you wanted to endorse a political candidate, I was my butthole. You know how...
I know you, yeah.
You know how, like, what is it? Dogs, they do it something like, with their anal like glands. Pulsates. Yeah. That's what mine did.
Yeah, I know.
But I watched some of his videos and I'm kind of still in that wheelhouse of like... I don't think anyone should rule me,
but
I will say this, short of just absolute purge and, you know,
starting over
revolution.
Yeah.
You got to kind of dial it back.
Yeah. As I say, it's like I told you the other day in the grand scheme of things, like if revolution doesn't happen, then we have to try to play ball.
Yeah. I'm still all about the purge. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm still in the same wheelhouse. I'd much rather dial it back because once you dial it back, then you can continue to dial it back.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. Let's kill him with a million cuts, you know?
Like, seriously, like, and the same goes as far as I'm concerned. I feel like, and that's why I feel camaraderie with libertarians, because at the end of the day, they kind of have the same motto, where it's like, we want to cause a revolution to leave you the fuck alone.
Yeah, we've been conspiring for decades to gain control of the government and leave you alone.
And then leave you alone.
Man.
And then gut all that fucking... wiretapping, listening to our conversations, like monitoring our lives, fucking taxing us into fucking literal like death.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
there is a death tax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give me a fucking break.
Yeah. I mean, when, like, to your average Joe, when basically, when you break it all down from income, sales, and all the other taxes that are placed on the things that you, the consumables and everything you buy and everything you do, you're being taxed at like 40%.
Fuels taxes, you know, tobacco taxes. Alcohol taxes. You get stopped on the highway for no seatbelt. That's kind of like a taxes.
Listen, yeah.
Pirate taxes.
Yeah, road pirate taxes.
But my roads.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyways.
But yeah, I'm willing to see what happens. I hope they get in the debate. I hope he steals it from him.
Yeah.
Hope he gets in there.
I hope he smashes it.
Hope he listens to this. He secretly... enjoys it.
Yeah.
Maybe he says it publicly that he enjoys it.
There's two local boys from Preble County that, like, we may not be maybe card-carrying members of your party, but we certainly do give you my seal of approval.
I drank a beer with Bob Barr.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Barr's a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
Fake libertarian.
Yeah.
So I would definitely drink a beer with this guy.
Yeah.
To hopefully he's not a douchebag. Hopefully he's a cool cat.
I imagine he kind of looks like he is.
I'd like to drink beer with him. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there, Mr. Irvine. If you want to drink a beer, Bones and Tubs, hit us up.
I mean, they seem like we probably have a promo on the next show. They didn't get to us by the end of today, so it's probably not going to go on there. Probably next week, there'll probably be a little blib for them, for Travis Irvine.
We'll shove it in there.
On the show, yeah. Just to give you guys a little taste of it. They seemed excited because I told them what our viewership was like and how many listeners we had, and they were like, yeah, we'd be real interested.
Yeah.
And I, especially when I told him, I was like, I mentioned that we were a libertarian-esque podcast.
Yeah.
So.
If we had to be a political party, it would either be a black flag or a snake flag.
Yeah.
Don't step on me, I'm a snack.
I'm a snack.
I bite you a snack.
I bite you.
Miss snack.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm sure there's other things I'd love to see on his platform, like maybe police reform.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, dial it back a little bit at a time.
But I just watched a video today where a guy went home. He was apparently giving his dog a bath, which, that's fine. Dogs get stinky. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Cops show up. And they're like, could you step outside? And he's like, well, fuck no. I didn't do anything. And so he closes the door. All of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. And they fucking bust the door down. And he's like, what are you doing in my house? You're not legally allowed to be in here. You don't have a warrant. I didn't do anything wrong. And they're like, the neighbor said they saw a Hispanic man carrying an AK-47 into his house. And he's like, yeah, I have an AK-47. What of it?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm allowed to have one.
What the problem is?
What are you trying to say? You're illegally in my house right now.
Yeah. Shoot him.
Like, without warrant.
With a gun.
Without due process or anything like that. JK. And they arrested him.
Hmm.
For what exactly, I don't know, because he had no reason to be arrested. So obviously right there, like, these dudes, this mentality with the thin blue line at this point is fuck your rights.
I got a really good picture that talks about the thin blue line. I sent it to you last night.
Yeah, I saw it. It was hilarious. I'd
like to describe it real quick.
Like, and anybody out there that's about that thin blue line, just remember this. They don't give a fuck about your rights.
No, they don't.
Don't be a bootlicker.
I like that they've all gone from, like, the traditional cop outfit to everybody wearing fucking paramilitary,
black, yeah, paramilitary black outfits. Like, no. Like,
I finally found the one thin blue line shirt that I want to buy. And it's got, like, the rustic American flag on its side, you know, down the back. And it says, the only time this patriot takes a knee, and then a picture of an AR, is to suck a hero officer's dick.
Yeah. True story.
Oh, shots fired.
I'm sorry, but we've come to a point with our police forces where if you adamantly support them and you got this blue line shit going on, you're a bootlicker.
Guess what? Never give someone blanket fucking approval.
I bet you there's people out there that aren't going to like that statement.
That's fine. Fuck them.
Listeners of the show that aren't going to like this statement.
Maybe
that statement.
Maybe not fuck them, but like we said earlier, fuck your feelings. Think about it. I mean, goddamn. Like the Nazis, you know? I'm not one of those fucking douchebag fucking Antifa out in the street, right?
Yeah.
Talking about Nazis and all this shit. But think of the Nazis for real, like.
Like, I'm not advocating what some of these assholes do and go out there and fucking fight cops or fucking try to kill them or anything like that by any means, right? But at the same time, like, we have to address the fucking giant fucking feral rabid elephant in the goddamn room.
Before we get on to the topic, just since we're on this cop thing, I want to give a shout out to the right kind of cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Doug Hurdy told me about this guy that he went to the sandbox with.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but we'll just call him the good boy.
Okay.
So the good boy, he came back and became I think it was a sheriff's deputy for somewhere out of state, not Ohio, it was like Indiana or somewhere. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when he got his job, his interview, or like his meeting with the sheriff, when he gave him his badge and swore him in, he was like, you've got one job, and that's to enforce the Constitution. I'll get out there. So he was allowed to do things. Like, he got, you know, one guy, I forget what reason, he stopped him. Some dude dirt biking, yeah. I guess. And something happened, so he stopped and was chatting with the guy, and he found, you know, the guy was like, I've got weed on me. And he's like, all right, well, he takes him off the dirt bike, pats him down, finds the weed, puts it on the dirt bike under his helmet, and he's going to let him keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he goes back and runs warrants, finds he's got a warrant. He's like, look, man, I'm not going to charge you for the weed. He's like, you can leave it here on your bike, have somebody come pick your bike up, let him call the dude.
Yeah.
Come pick his shit up, and then he took him in to deal with his warrant. You know? Not saying that the court was right for the warrant thing, but you're doing your job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not out there fucking running speed in a fucking small town, and you find some guy that's not from town going 5 over, you charge him for 6 over because it's worth more money in court, taking the mayor's court and fuck his asshole, take $200 from his family's fucking dinner, you know?
Like, this is why there should be, like, I get we have elections every year, but I feel like, as a community, you should be able to come together, and everybody comes together, and they electively, like, remove one police officer from duty. Because, like, I could think, I bet you, like, in reality, there's for every fucking douchebag cop, there's probably 3 or 4 good ones, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
Nobody should want that job.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is in catching flack right now from us, that's part of the job description.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Yep.
You signed up, like, that's the thing. Nobody conscripted you to be a police officer. You had to understand, like, you're going into a situation where people fucking hate you for your uniform.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. And they're always going to hate you.
And they should.
And if they don't hate you, at the very least, they fear you. And that should be a problem.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. It was a sign of how healthy your government is, how you feel when the police are behind you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fucking fact. If you see the cops rush up on you with their lights on, are you like, oh, I should pull over because he's on his way somewhere? You're like, fuck, what did I do wrong?
Exactly. Like, seriously, like, anybody that's listening, if you don't get either a sick feeling in your stomach, like a fear feeling when you get pulled over, or an angry feeling, then please message me, because I want to meet the person who doesn't get that feeling.
They did nothing wrong. You can search my car, and you can finger my butthole and fuck my wife. I ain't do nothing wrong. I got the thin blue line flag in my yard. You can come on in there and fuck my kids and shoot my dog.
Because I didn't do nothing wrong.
Because I didn't do nothing. What are you scared of? You terrorists or something? Sorry, it's hot as fuck in here. I'm losing my shit.
But I get it though, and that's the thing is like it's not about whether like I ain't got nothing to hide mentality. Like, well, like for that situation I told you about in that video where the guy they came into his house without warrant or anything like that. There's some bootlicker out there that would be like, well, if you ain't got nothing to hide, why do you care if the cops are in your house? First of all, dick licker, you're an unpatriotic piece of shit, because that is a big part of the reason why we fucking fought a goddamn revolution to break away from England, because we got tired of British soldiers fucking kicking in our doors and fucking coming into our houses without warrant and without a fucking reason and being allowed to stay in our goddamn houses. They wrote that in there.
If Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and John Adams knew what was going on with the Thin Blue Line, they would come into each individual house with a Thin Blue Line bumper sticker or flag in their yard, and they would shit in their cereal.
Yeah. I could see George Washington just walk up.
Benjamin Franklin would fuck their wives, too.
He was tall as fuck, so he probably, looked down at the guy, looking down at this cop. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, bitch.
You fucking red coat piece of shit. Man. I'm sorry. I got a little angry there.
That's fine.
It happens.
It's gotta be the heat.
It probably is the heat. Okay, so let's get to our topic today, because, fuck, we've gone on for a while, but I felt like that was good, though.
Yeah.
It was a good purge of fucking
10 minutes of hate.
Negative energy. But today, because we haven't even told you what we're talking about. So today we're talking about, I came across it actually yesterday. Because we were, once again, aghast at what the fuck we were going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And I found it by happenstance, once again, because the muse, you just got to wait for it to come.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
See you in.
It had to do with QAnon, actually. It was a post involving QAnon, and it was like degrees of where you're at in the QAnon conspiracy. And of six levels, I was only, as I found out yesterday, I was only on level 4 because I had never heard of this before. It involved one general in the army, Smedley Butler, and a supposed conspiracy involving, not involving him, but he revealed, and the possibility that it's either A, happening again, or B, they're trying to, it did happen, and they're trying to reverse it or end it, right?
Right. Counter coup.
Yeah. So, let's take it back. 1933. Smedley Butler is approached by a group of shadowy men. They tell him at first, hey, how about you come, there's this big meeting of the American Legion coming up. We want you to talk at it. There's a couple things we want you to talk about. We want you to talk about how the president's doing a shitty job, and we want to talk about how you think veterans' benefits should be raised.
Yeah.
Smedley Butler's like, well, I do agree that veterans' benefits should be raised, but I'm not, don't get me wrong, I don't like the president.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to talk against him like that. Mm-hmm. Because back then, they came to him because Smedley Butler was a well-respected member of the military.
Right.
He was a general. He'd served with dignity. Da-da-da-da. They figured he'd be a good mouthpiece.
Yeah.
For these men, these shadow men.
Those boys.
So they approach him again. They ask him, please, come speak. There's a group of us that think you should speak at this. We think there should be a bigger role for you in the government than there is. Once again, Smedley Butler turns him down. They approach him for the third time. This time, apparently, they had grown tired of being refused by him and decided to divulge their full motives for why they were approaching him. And they came to him and they said, we are a consortium of businessmen and the military who wish to, if by possible violent means, overthrow the president of the United States, which at the time was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, good old FDR.
And place the presidency in a kind of figureheadish kind of role.
Mm-hmm.
They approached him and they wanted to appoint him to Roosevelt's cabinet and give him the title of Secretary of General Affairs.
Mm.
You see, these men had gone to different parts of the world, and particularly they had gone to Germany in 1933, and they had gone to Italy in 1933-32, and they had seen how these new governments were running. This new idea that was only a decade or so old, that was still in its infancy, that hadn't yet formed a new, officially how it was going to really all be ran.
Hmm.
And of course, if you didn't know already, said idea is called fascism.
Yes.
Now, mind you, this is a consortium of businessmen in the military, came to the conclusion that America needed some fascism. America would run better.
Just a little bit of that fascism?
If we injected a little bit of fascism in the way the United States was run, and what better way to do that than to completely diminish the role of the President of the United States and create a new position.
Yeah.
And they wanted Smedley Butler to do the job.
Yeah. Populist fascism.
Yes. Now, once they had revealed their true motives to Smedley Butler, Smedley Butler did something that a lot of men probably wouldn't have done. He said, no.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, not only no, but I'm going to go to what I believe is one of the most powerful group of people in the world, in this country at least, and that's Congress.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell him what you just did, what you just told me.
Going to have us chat.
Yeah. So that's exactly what he did.
Here's the clip.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government and break down our democratic institutions. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government. I talked with an investigator for this committee who came to me with a subpoena on Sunday, November 18th. He told me they had unearthed evidence linking my name with several such veteran organizations. As it then seemed to me to be getting serious, I felt it was my duty to tell all I knew of such activities to this committee. My main interest in all this is to preserve our democratic institutions. I want to retain the right to vote, the right to speak freely, and the right to write. If we maintain these basic principles, our democracy is safe. No dictatorship can exist with suffrage, freedom of speech, and press.
And there it was.
Mm-hmm. So, he went to them. He told them what their plan was. Now, this is where you're like, well, this is all history. Why would you be telling us this? Well, two things. One, his documentation of this incident didn't go anywhere. They shut it down. The newspapers called it a hoax.
Fake news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Newspapers owned by rich moguls that were probably part of this group in the first place said it was a hoax. They said it never happened, even though there was actual, like, involved with it, there were funds that went missing.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows where those funds went. This whole coup that could have happened.
Yeah.
Never did.
That ended up happening eventually. We just haven't pinpointed exactly when yet.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
If you want my idea. Now, this is unscripted.
Not only do I want it, but they want it too.
It just came into my brain.
Yeah.
So, to make a long story short with Smedley Butler, he basically was called a fraud. And that there was nothing legitimate about what he did.
So, he staked his reputation to tell the truth to the American people.
Yeah. Because, and you know what he said about it? He said that he thought... What he did by telling and by telling Congress what they told him was the democratic thing to do. You know, it kind of makes me a bit of his... He's a bit one of my heroes now.
Yeah, that's some heroic shit.
Yeah. So, anyways, we want to... You asked the question. When... So, if it didn't happen then, because we're a podcast that believes in the deep state cabal...
Yeah.
We might ask ourselves, when did it happen? Because it obviously did. There wouldn't be a show right now if it had never happened, if there was never a deep state or a cabal. And I could kind of pinpoint it down. I don't think it happened suddenly. I don't think it was just light switch off. I think there were events in a sequence that happened.
Yeah.
President Dwight D. Eisenhower is the first person to coin the term military-industrial complex, a consortium of military men and businessmen come together to basically make money on warfare.
Yeah. It's okay. Like you've had these tentacles before, because you had the financial tentacle taken over from the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the president that gave the speech about that in 1914, I think?
Woodrow Wilson.
So Woodrow Wilson gives his speech then. And then you go fast forward World War II to the collusion between, like we were joking earlier about our unofficial sponsor was going to be Coca-Cola, because they were one of the companies that made money with the Nazis and the Germans during World War II. They couldn't sell Coke in the United States hardly as much as they were, so they decided to make Fanta Orange, and that was the Nazi cola.
Fanta.
And then you had Henry Ford giving the Ford plant to build tanks, you know?
Yeah.
And then you had IBM, right, for the computers to track the Jews.
Yeah.
So you've had like the banking, the corporations. And then, but where does it go after that?
Well, Eisenhower knew that World War II happened, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that was kind of their, whether it was done by design or whether it was a natural occurrence that was gonna happen regardless, or maybe people just pushed things in the right direction to make it happen. But World War II is the defining moment where people were making money hand over fist,
yeah,
on warfare, right? And normally before then, you know, war's over, lower it back down.
Yeah.
Take it back down a few notches.
Turn it down, boy.
But it never turned back down.
No, it just ramped up.
They fucking kept turning the dial up and up. And Eisenhower warned about it. He was in the military. He saw it.
Mm-hmm.
He saw it for what it was.
Yeah.
Men who were taking advantage of political strife and making money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it a name then. For me, though, I think the defining moment when it truly became the deep state, the cabal as it was, and it wasn't just a group of men trying to make as much money as they could, was the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about it on the show before, we know that they didn't, that Kennedy wanted out of Vietnam, which was at the time our main, it was going to be the military-industrial complex's bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment, money, everything you can imagine. And he wanted to dismantle the CIA. Yeah. It could have been a kill two birds with one stone scenario.
Rip them into 1,000 pieces and throw them to the four winds.
Yeah. So I think that was their coup in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because at that point, even if Johnson wasn't a part of it, that all they have to do is be like, hey, listen, LBJ, we understand you have a gigantic penis.
Huge dick.
Huge
big
fucking
dick
cock.
Swinging Johnson. Big Johnson.
Huge fucking dick.
Yeah.
But here's the dig, brother. Brother man.
Big dog.
You're going to do what we tell you, or we're going to blow out your fucking head, too.
Right.
And I bet you they say it with a smile on their face, like,
yeah.
Hey, bud, we're going to fucking kill you.
And cut your giant dick off, put it in your mouth.
Jumbo. But,
So, do you think that they took public face with the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan?
See, I don't know.
Because then, like, what I've been reading and watching with these documentaries and stuff, trying to kind of figure out, because, like, we talked about, you know, since 1913, even before then, you know, you had all those, like, organized, sort of slippery octopus tentacles.
Yeah.
Touching people like Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all these other presidents that fought the banks. And eventually they won, 1913. The banks got their full strength tentacle.
Yeah.
And then you had, like we said, you know, the weird corporate collusion with Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
World War II. Then you had the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had, at some point in there, probably before World War II, I can't exactly remember when the Prussian model of education took part, but that's the education model, and then the medical wing, right?
Yeah.
So it slowly gained tentacles over the years, and exactly. Then I kind of figured out, at least in my head, that when Bush Sr. took office, that's when they put their face. Ever since then, it was puppets. Entirely puppets.
And, well, see, here's the thing, though. I think it got to a point where the office of the president, and I think this happened at JFK, in reality, we've balked before about how we feel like the president has become too powerful.
Yeah.
But in reality, I think more or less they wanted to make it more of a figurehead position, right?
Yeah.
I think they kind of started doing that with LBJ. Because I just got done watching this fantastic documentary on Netflix, Ken Burns' The Vietnam War. I suggest it for anybody. It's fucking 20 hours long. It took me and Tobin's a week and a half to burn through this fucking thing.
Get it in.
But let me tell you something. If you want a fucking amazing documentary about that war, watch it. But that being said, they have audio tapes of LBJ talking. There is not one tape where he's talking positive about being in Vietnam. Every one of them is, we need to get out.
Yeah.
And yet they remain. Nixon talked about it too. And it wasn't until, like, there was this huge protest. And this protest didn't just involve hippies or anything like that. This was a protest it's the largest protest that has ever happened in the United States of America to end the war in Vietnam. And it was blue collar people, hippies, didn't matter. It was just, bring our troops home. Yeah. We're done with this. Like, we're done with it.
Right.
And I think by then they realized if they continued this fruitless war, they'd be apt to lose it all.
Sorry,
in a people's revolution.
My phone just alerted me that Google's been spying on me.
Oh, that's good.
During our conversation just now.
Hmm.
It was using my camera while we were talking about that.
Hmm.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of weird. No problem. All right, then. Yeah. So, that gave me a little bit of chill.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks, okay. Android, for hooking me up with that info.
So, basically, they had no choice in the matter. They had to end the war because public sentiment, the fever pitch was so high. You had regular folk, the quote-unquote proletariat, like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
They had to end it because they could have lost everything.
Right.
If they would have kept going with it. So, they had no choice and ended the war.
Yeah.
But I think ever since then, in reality, any president that has tried to, like, press back and fight against the cabal has at least had a fucking shot blown across their bow.
Yeah.
Or anybody that could have threatened it, i.e. Bobby Kennedy. You know what I mean? Like, somebody who could have rose above it.
Right.
Who is a people's president.
It's kind of interesting with this, how we've been following and not riding Trump's dick, but watching what it's been doing with the QAnon stuff. And, like, if you think about it, when he got into office, he was talking about not necessarily relying on the Secret Service. He had his own private Secret Service.
Yeah.
You know, his own private contractors. The Secret Service detail that he handpicked for himself, one of them died not that long ago in what most people believe was an assassination attempt on Trump while he was in Scotland. They had another QAnon revelation that happened. Like, they were saying, I think it was today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
They would say, like, you know, September 17th, 2018 is the day for FISA. And then Trump comes out and gives a speech or whatever and calls for the unredacted copy of FISA to be released.
Yeah.
So it seems like, to tie it all together with the Smedley Butler thing, like, the counter coup that they tried with Smedley Butler failed with him but was successful ultimately.
Yeah.
And that Trump and the QAnon wing are the counter coup.
They did it more slowly, more deliberately.
Yeah.
Than just a flat out coup.
Death by a million cuts.
Yeah. So anyways, get to like the '90s, and then you get into some really greasy shit, because not only now do you have presidents who at least let it, they understood it was going on but really couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
Now you start getting into individuals who don't just let it happen, but are actively a part of it in and of itself, i.e. George W. Bush.
Yeah, fuck.
I.e. Bill Clinton, who I think at first wasn't an active participant, but the stuff I read today involving, like, basically how he got involved is they had him on video fucking doing blow when he was governor of Arkansas. And they were like, listen, if you ever want to be in politics again, you're going to do what the fuck we tell you.
Well, they came into it like 100,000aires and left multimillionaires.
And that's definitely the thing.
Got into it, especially like the QAnon leaks that are coming out with the sex trade in the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he was like, yeah, fuck, please don't show people me doing blow. And then he just went in full force with it at some point.
So now we get to the present day. And basically what I've gotten from all this is that basically QAnon, who this theory goes with what QAnon is actually a group of white hat military individuals who realized what was up, decided to do something about it.
Modern day Smedley Butlers.
Yeah, except it's in reverse.
Right.
Instead of performing a coup,
counter-coup
to bring fascism to the United States, it's to fucking do a coup to remove the deep state from the government that has, like, slowly been fucking wiggling its tendrils into every aspect of government, right?
Yeah, even into our phones to watch us with the camera while we're recording an episode of the Bones and Tubs podcast.
Yeah, so they're trying, what it seems like is they're doing a reverse coup. Now, the one thing I did read involving the New Age stuff is that, one, it's a group of military individuals.
Yeah, right? Military intel.
Yeah. One of them being Manafort, who right after Trump got elected, 2 weeks after he got elected, he went to Trump Tower. And they don't know what the meeting was about, but the assumption is that he told him, hey, Obama issued a FISA warrant on you and has been recording you for a while.
Yeah.
And that there's a group of individuals who, what was his name?
Fucking love the good, you know, the fire memes, the dankest of them.
This is where I got it all from.
Nice.
So a lot of people are looking towards Admiral Michael S. Rogers. They believe he's the quote-unquote Smedley Butler of this situation.
Yeah.
He's the one that's like, we need to get these dick lickers out of our fucking, out of this.
Right.
They don't have our best interests at heart.
The public face, too, that I hope comes out of it is the JFK Jr. cat.
Oh, my God. That was true.
That'd even make my fucking head explode.
So, the rumors are Now, mind you, these are rumors. This is all, like, even before Trump was elected, there was this whole thing was already in talks, but they were talking about doing a hot, live fucking coup, right?
Yeah.
They got Trump on board with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they told Trump the plan, Trump's like, nah, we're not going to do it like that. He's like, I don't want this, like, because he's like, if you fucking go in there and fucking remove Obama from office and all this shit, he's like, it will cause a fucking civil war and people are going to fucking die.
Yeah.
He's like, we can do this a different way. And apparently that's what's going on right now.
Yeah. They're trying the very last ditch effort to prevent a hot war.
Yeah. And they're trying to rip the roots of the deep state cabal out of the government.
They're doing a good job. These motherfuckers are shitting their pants with these QAnon things. Have you been watching any of that QAnon stuff last week?
Yeah.
Jeesh.
So there was talks that basically if Hillary had won, it would have happened.
Yeah. We got really close.
And apparently, like I said, these are all rumors and hearsay. If Hillary had won, it was going to happen. And if Obama would have cried wolf and said that it was a rigged election, it would have happened. And apparently, according to this rumor, Obama was warned of this. Basically, if it's true, like I said, this is all hearsay. If it's true, it's badass as fuck because they did the reverse tap. They tapped him and said, for all these years, we've had the deep state tapping these men and telling them, this is what you're going to fucking do. If you don't fucking do it.
They tapped the tappers.
They tapped the tappers and said, hey, motherfucker, guess what?
Yeah. Ooh-wee.
We'll fuck your eyeballs out if you try to do this.
Long dick style.
Yeah. You're about to just watch it happen.
Yeah.
And hope that you get that hope that when the dust clears, you're not one of the ones in handcuffs.
Man, I can't wait for November 18th. That's the ever ominous QAnon date.
Yeah.
QMAP.pub.
That's really all I have about that.
Yeah, that's good. Let me see that meme real quick. I want to see where I'm at. Because after you told me about it, when you mentioned that last night, I was like, it shook a box in my head. But you told me about it, and I was like, I know I've heard that, but I don't know what it is. So then I started looking. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, that's a great topic, especially now that we've got the context with the Donald Trump QAnon counter coup.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Man, so we've already been flirting with level 8. I'll go ahead and share that, or you can share it on the Bones and Tubs page. Yeah.
Basically, I just showed him the meme that had started this momentum with the Smedley Butler thing. And basically what it boils down to is that one way or the other, what it sounds like, what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
One way or the other, they're going to rip this shit out.
Right.
It's either going to come out and slide out like a fucking greasy penis.
Yeah.
Or it's going to come like a greasy human penis, or it's going to fucking come out dry and hot like a fucking big old tomcat penis.
Right.
With barbs on it.
That's what you hear in the middle of the night. Are they fighting? Are they fucking? I'm not sure.
I don't know which one they're doing. They're doing something, though.
Right. I'm just glad that it's finally coming out. We've had this conversation privately a number of times, but it's like, you know, the law of polarity. You would argue that we all have the agreement that there is a cabal or there are black hats. They're doing it for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the Georgia Guidestones. We've got these motherfuckers putting, which is a future show. It's Nogales. You hip to it?
Mm-mm.
You will be.
Oh.
Nogales was found to perhaps be the responsible party in the autism, as well as various other diseases, injected with vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start doing an anti-Nogales diet, they've got an interview with the child that had autism, and it mentions how thankful she is she can speak now, because being autistic is like being in a prison. But anyway, so, you know, we talked about the black hats, what they've been doing, and if there are all these people with eugenics poisoning the shots, poisoning the food, poisoning the air, where are the white hats? Law of polarity says that they have to exist, and then here we are.
You know, it's like the other day when I told you about that dream I had that disturbed me greatly.
Yeah.
And I asked the question. I was like, where are, I said, because I don't want to, fuck it, I'm getting into this dream.
Was that the dream where you got hit in the face with a, oh no, that was a different dream, sorry.
Yeah. But let's put it this way, this came off the cusp of watching the movie Hereditary. Go out and check it out, it costs money, but
yeah,
it's scary as fuck, terrifying. But I had a dream that, I don't know if it was him or someone like him, but the demon Paimon came to me.
How do you spell that?
Paimon.
Okay. For those people listening, they're like, how do you spell it?
And he told me that there would be no ritual to bring him here because he was already here.
Yeah.
And he said, now we're waiting for my master.
Who's his master, I would ask?
If you know anything about the hierarchy of hell, which unfortunately I've spent a lot of time on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Paimon is one of the crown dukes of hell.
Mm.
Right?
So he's got the big daddy boss.
He's got one master.
Yeah.
The big guy.
Bringer of light.
The light bringer.
Lucifer.
The morning star.
Yeah.
You know.
Venus, the fake sun.
Yes. And I was told that they were working on bringing him here. I know that's a really weird woo-woo dream, and I hated even talking about it to even my podcast partner and Tobin's. I was like,
I don't know why you're weird about it with me. You know, I drink this shit.
I know, and it was just, it felt weird. It was such a weird dream. It's like that one I had, though, about moon children that fucked me up, too.
Yeah. You're not the oracle we want. You're the oracle we need.
But yeah, so, and it makes me think, like, and I asked the question. I said, if that's true, what was told to me in the dream, that he's already here and they're waiting for the master, I was like, where's the opposition?
Right.
Like, so if that's the case, where's the other side? The good side?
Yeah.
I was like, are they here already? But their presence just isn't known.
They can't all be thumbing their asshole. They have to be working just as actively as the Dark Hats, right?
I mean, by the law of vibration and polarity and correspondence, for that matter.
Yeah.
They have to be doing the same thing.
Right. Well, I'm glad that it worked out for you in your mind. You know, you kind of got a little farther with it, seems like.
It's just, it's harder to, maybe that's the whole point, is it's harder to see their presence, harder to feel their presence.
Because they don't want to be felt.
And maybe it's because the evil is so fucking prevalent at this point that, you know, it's darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
That's what you got to hope.
That's what I'm definitely hoping. There won't be anybody more disappointed in the entire world than Bones himself if we ever come to find out that QAnon is a psyop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
I will fucking screech blood.
Like all of a sudden, like, suddenly QAnon says, all right, I'm going to do a video. And all of a sudden, the screen pops up and it's just Hillary Clinton. Yeah. No!
And then it's an never-ending Rickroll.
Yeah. But you know how they say, trust the plan.
Yeah. I'm still, like, when it comes to the trusting anything, but I will wait with bated breath.
But that's the thing. When the time comes, if the call gets made,
yeah,
we got to answer the goddamn call.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's that simple.
It's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I think...
Man, we did a good...
Yeah. It's hot as fuck in here. Yeah. I think that about wraps it up for this show. We'd like to thank you all for listening. We'd like to thank the Menti Hippo for contributing to our Patreon.
Yeah, he helped us get one step further to not only climate control, but also being able to do, you know, more shows.
Yeah.
If you want to have us at our bestest, which we haven't even, you know, approached yet.
We haven't even achieved.
Head on over to patreon.com/bonesandtubs. Vote with your dollars. Let us know. Yeah. You'll get some of those tasty rewards, and we'll, you know, eventually step away from the Factory of Sadness and do this full time.
Yeah. We'd like to thank y'all for listening. We'd like to thank Ryan Sisson for letting us use his music on the show. We hope y'all tune in next time.
I've got one more thing.
Okay.
Sorry. I always do this shit. Every time I listen to the end, I'm like, God, shut the fuck up. But head over to our Instagram, Bones and Tubs at Instagram. I'm sorry. God damn it. Instagram.com/Bones and Tubs. Check out the link in our description. We made a slight marriage, temporary, of course, with a company called T Public. And they will put our logo. And there's soon to be more. I'm jabbing Tubbs with a butter knife.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Ever so slowly to draw things for logos and different things. But they make everything. Fucking t-shirts, hoodies, yeah. Sweaters, baby clothes, wall art, bumper stickers, mugs, phone cases, bags, pillows, all kinds of shit. Get some of that Bones and Tubbs swag in your life.
Ooh, yeah.
You get any? Take a picture. Send it to us. We'll put it on our Instagram.
Hell yeah. Of course I would. I
fucking love you.
Wouldn't doubt that for a minute. But we'd like to thank you all for listening. We hope you tune in next time, and we hope you have a good week.
We love you.
We really do.
Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for only one reason: to protect and enrich itself. The establishment has trillions of dollars at stake in this election. For those who control the levers of power in Washington and for the global special interest, they partner with these people that don't have your good in mind. Our campaign represents a true existential threat like they haven't seen before. This is not simply another four-year election. This is a crossroads in the history of our civilization that will determine whether or not we, the people, reclaim control over our government. The political establishment that is trying to stop us is the same group responsible for our disastrous trade deals, massive illegal immigration, and economic and foreign policies that have bled our country dry. The political establishment has brought about the destruction of our factories and our jobs as they flee to Mexico, China, and other countries all around the world. It's a global power structure that is responsible for the economic decisions that have robbed our working class, stripped our country of its wealth, and put that money into the pockets of a handful of large corporations and political entities. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. And this will be our last chance to save it. This election will determine whether we're a free nation or whether we have only the illusion of democracy, but are in fact controlled by a small handful of global special interests rigging the system, and our system is rigged. This is reality. You know it, they know it, I know it, and pretty much the whole world knows it. The Clinton machine is at the center of this power structure. We've seen this firsthand in the WikiLeaks documents in which Hillary Clinton meets in secret with international banks to plot the destruction of U.S. sovereignty in order to enrich these global financial powers, her special interest friends, and her donors. Honestly, she should be locked up. The most powerful weapon deployed by the Clintons is the corporate media, the press. Let's be clear on one thing. The corporate media in our country is no longer involved in journalism. They're a political special interest, no different than any lobbyist or other financial entity with a total political agenda. And the agenda is not for you, it's for themselves. Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever is necessary. The Clintons are criminals, remember that. This is well documented, and the establishment that protects them has engaged in a massive cover-up of widespread criminal activity at the State Department and the Clinton Foundation in order to keep the Clintons in power. They knew they would throw every lie they could at me and my family and my loved ones. They knew they would stop at nothing to try to stop me. Nevertheless, I take all of these slings and arrows gladly for you. I take them for our movement so that we can have our country back. I knew this day would arrive. It's only a question of when. And I knew the American people would rise above it and vote for the future they deserve. The only thing that can stop this corrupt machine is you. The only force strong enough to save our country is us. The only people brave enough to vote out this corrupt establishment is you, the American people. Our great civilization has come upon a moment of reckoning. I didn't need to do this, folks, believe me. I built a great company and I had a wonderful life. I could have enjoyed the fruits and benefits of years of successful business deals and businesses for myself and my family, instead of going through this absolute horror show of lies, deceptions, malicious attacks. Who would have thought? I'm doing it because this country has given me so much, and I feel so strongly that it's my turn to give back to the country that I love. I'm doing this for the people and for the movement, and we will take back this country for you, and we will make America great again.